It is. I might have an anointed tongue, Lord, and that we would hear what the Spirit is saying today. Amen. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're looking at Psalm 92 again. We looked at the first five verses last week, and it really is an amazing psalm. You know, sometimes from my point of view, because I have the opportunity to study it, I think, well, what are the things that actually are relevant for the congregation? Because there's so much that actually could be said. So, but it's probably always a bit like that. But I really felt this morning that the theme should be finding our strength in God. And last week we were looking at finding our joy in God. And in a sense, with that verse in Nehemiah, the two are connected, because in that verse, I think it's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So in a sense, it's a follow-on from last week. But overall, this psalm really has three parts. We've got that song of thanksgiving, which we looked at last week in the first five verses. And then from verses 6 to 11, a section that could be called God's righteous judgment. And then thirdly, the blessing of God on the righteous, even in old age, in verses 12 to 15. Now, this middle part of verses 6 to 11, there's a lot of talk about God's enemies, and indeed the psalmist's own enemies as well, as there is, in fact, throughout the book of Psalms. We read, for example, in verse 7, that they flourish like the grass in the wilderness, but they are doomed to destruction forever. In verse 6, it says that the senseless and foolish man, which I think we can understand as being the man without the Spirit, cannot understand this. But I also think that whenever we are reading about and thinking about enemies, especially in books like the Psalms, we do very much need to keep in mind the New Testament teaching. For example, first of all, in the New Testament, it teaches that we were all enemies of God. By virtue of our sinful nature and turning our backs on Him before we came to Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul, he said, once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So certainly when we read about enemies, that should keep us humble. Secondly, as you know, we've said many times, that our real struggle is not against people, is it? It's against principalities and powers, the spiritual forces of darkness. Those are the things that we really find ourselves as Christians in whom the Spirit of God is living. Those are the real things that we find ourselves struggling with. They may come through people. And thirdly, and not least, Jesus taught us to love our enemies. So we need to keep those things in mind. Nevertheless, in this psalm, we read about God's enemies, who are very real. The psalmist clearly experienced trials and struggles. And so in the midst of it all, we find, particularly in verse 10, the psalmist, whoever he was, and people have different opinions, but I don't think necessarily we will ever know. But nevertheless, this man who was a godly man found his strength in God, and he also said some remarkable things. We're going to be thinking about verse 10, which, and if you could go on to the next slide. Let's read verse 10. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. I think this verse is quite interesting, because if we go to verse 9 is about God's enemies. If we go to verse 11, the psalmist talks about his enemies. And here, right in the middle, in the midst of his enemies, we find a verse where the psalmist is speaking about the strength that God gives. It reminds me of Psalm 23 that we know very well. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. God gives us strength. God gives us grace in the most amazing ways in the midst of our troubles. And often we face a situation and we think, how could I ever face that? But we don't know, because it's only when we get there that then we find the grace of God is there to help us. So let's look at this verse and look at the first part first, in the first line. The psalmist says, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. What does he mean? What is he talking about? So the first thing is that in the Bible, and actually in that ancient Near Eastern culture, the horn was a symbol of strength and power. It represents for us the strength and power that God gives to his people. And I think, first of all, the psalmist is expressing that he's found his strength in God to overcome all the enemies and obstacles in his life. And we see many examples of this throughout the Bible. I mean, for example, there was Hannah, who became the mother of Samuel. She was very, very distressed because she couldn't have a child. And we can be very, very distressed for many reasons. And she turned to God and she prayed. And God, in this situation, amazingly answered her prayer, and a son was born. And I would just say that in those kinds of situations, well, my experience is that God doesn't always answer in the way in which we would like or hope or expect. But he will always answer and bring a blessing into our lives. I do believe that often we hope to be blessed in a particular area, and God blesses us in a different area of our lives. And often that happens. But he will still always strengthen us. And Hannah said afterwards, because she was like the one leper who came back to give thanks, and she said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. That's an example of a woman who found her strength in the Lord. We read, for example, in Psalm 89, verse 17, where the psalmist says, for you, O Lord, are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. King David, and quite a well-known example, was also a man who frequently found his strength in God. On one occasion, his men were embittered because of what had happened to their families, and they were thinking of stoning David. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, just these simple words, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then there are the amazing words, perhaps almost the most magnificent passage in the whole of the Bible, I think. Although there is so much, maybe we can't quite say that. But the end of Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Isaiah is speaking about the strength that God can give. So the psalmist in Psalm 92 likens this strength to a wild animal. If we can go on to, yeah. He says, "You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox." A rehim. If I pronounce that incorrectly, it doesn't matter because you don't know anyway. It's not certain exactly what this animal was. Most Bible versions, with the exception of the King James, translated as a wild ox. Does anyone know what the King James translates it as? A unicorn. A unicorn. So we have a unicorn in the Bible. That sort of mythical, wonderful, fancy animal. Well, I think the main point, particularly back then, is the sense of belief that it was an animal with one horn. And very likely not a rhinoceros. Very possibly, probably, extinct now. And the reason for saying that is because many ancient inscriptions have been found, or little drawings of an animal that many think actually could be identified with this animal. It was described in the ancient world as a powerful, fierce-eyed wild ox with stout curved horns, an animal of the wooden mountain, which scales the highest summits, an animal of tremendous physical strength. So at the end of the day, there's some uncertainty, but certainly an animal of remarkable strength and an animal that could not be tamed, that was wild. Quite, I would think you would say and agree, an amazing picture of the strength that God can give to his people. At the same time, none of us here need to be reminded that we are mortal and that we are made of dust and we experience all sorts of afflictions and difficulties in our lives. And so did the Apostle Paul. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh and a messenger of Satan to harass me. And like probably most of us would do, he asked God to remove it. But in this situation, the Lord spoke these words to the Apostle Paul. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And that's often how it is. We want to be strong and we don't like weakness. But it's usually the case that God uses us in our weaknesses, and so often our human strengths get in the way. It really is true, I think, that in God's service, our strengths can be our greatest weaknesses. Augustine said, "When God is our strength, it is strength indeed. When our strength is our own, it is only weakness." And the Scottish Congregational minister, George MacDonald, said this, which you might like: "Strength has ever to be made perfect in weakness, and old age is one of the weaknesses in which it is perfected." You see, we find God's strength in exercising spiritual disciplines, such as, of course, meeting together to worship God, but we find it in the Word of God and we find it in prayer. Let's look at the second half of the verse, where it says, "You have poured over me fresh oil." In biblical times, kings, prophets, and priests were anointed with oil from a horn. In David's case, it says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day forward. David was not only anointed symbolically with the oil, but he received an anointing of the Holy Spirit for the task that God had called him to. As Christians, we all have an anointing from God because the Spirit of God lives in us. God's power is the power of His Spirit who dwells within every Christian. And as John said in his letter, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And Tyndale commentary says, fresh oil, which is the version actually Tina read, in such a context speaks eloquently of a renewed anointing or consecration to serve God. And following on for that, there's very possibly actually another thought here within these words in the second half of the verse. Because the verb to pour the oil is also used in the sense of oil being poured on the meal offering in Leviticus to moisten it before presenting it as an offering and sacrifice at the altar. That's in Exodus. The idea may well be here of oil being used to prepare a living sacrifice. It certainly ties in with Romans 12. But Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And when we make that step, it's certainly then that we receive the Spirit into our lives. The person who wrote this psalm was a man who found the strength and the amazing grace of God in the midst of his trials. And we can as well. But there's more to this verse. The question has been, if we could go on to the next slide, when the psalmist has spoke of my horn, was he only speaking of himself and being strengthened? Or when he was speaking about my horn, could he actually have been speaking about someone else? Because in the Bible, the horn is not only a symbol of strength, but it is also a designation given to kings. Kings who could be good or bad kings in the Bible. And if so, the psalmist is saying, he has exalted my king. There are verses in the Bible where the Lord himself is described as being a horn. Like, for example, in Numbers, where it says that God brought them out of Egypt and is for them like the horns of a wild ox. There are also verses where the predicted and prophesied about Messiah is referred to as a horn. For example, in Psalm 2, where it says, I will make a horn to grow for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. And when we come into the New Testament, we see that Jesus is described as an exalted horn, the horn of our salvation, the one who defeats our enemies, the one who is not only our king, but he is also our strength. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Jewish interpreters, interestingly, and also Christian interpreters throughout the centuries, have widely recognized Psalm 92, verse 10, as being messianic. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit at his baptism. Jesus found strength in God as he set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, even to the point of shedding blood. And yet he became for each one of us a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God, and died in our place. And God exalted him to the highest place. He has saved, he does save, and he will save us from our enemies, because he is our exalted horn. And it's he who has the strength like that of a wild ox. He's our horn, he's our strength, and he is our king. And Paul said and prayed for the Christians at Ephesus, and prayed that God might grant them to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In the wilderness of this life, this is what we need. As it says in the hymn, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, and 10,000 beside. Amen.